Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Jen A. I reside here in Littleton, Colorado, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 1st, 2026. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page number 48 and the fourth paragraph, beginning with, "The prosaic steel girder is a mass of electrons," and it ends with, "means nothing and proceeds nowhere." We're going to be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers for Team Wednesday in the month of July will be 12 Steps, Sarah G., 12 Traditions, Kelly H. The reader of the text today will be Sally A. Our closing reader is Tamara C., and Maura Z. will greatly back us up here. Newcomer greeter is Sima M., and our second hour moderator is Ken W.H. So here's your reference numbers for yesterday's meeting on Tuesday, June 30th, 2026. We have the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard number reading as 23592. That's 23,592. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard is 23,593. That's 23,593. Here's our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry this message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, thus to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Maura Z. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Maura.
Good morning. Maura Z., gratefully recovered in Virginia, the 12 steps of OA. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Morrissey. Appreciate you this morning. I will now ask Kelly H. to read the 12 traditions for us. Go ahead, Kelly.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning. This is Kelly H. from North Carolina, reading the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly H. All right, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions to recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There are no abstinence requirements for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then you'll press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we resume our study in the chapter We Agnostics. In the Big Book on page 48, the last paragraph, number 4 at the bottom, it begins with the prosaic steel girder is a mass of electrons, and that ends with means nothing and proceeds nowhere. We're going to comment on that one paragraph only, so I will now ask Sally A. to begin reading. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, everyone. It's Sally A. of New York. I'm down in Texas again, recovered compulsive overeater. The prosaic steel girder is a mass of electrons whirling around each other at incredible speed. These tiny bodies are governed by precise laws, and these laws hold true throughout the material world. Science tells us so. We have no reason to doubt it. When, however, the perfectly logical assumption is suggested that underneath the material world and life as we see it, there is an all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence, right there our perverse streak comes to the surface. And we laboriously set out to convince ourselves it isn't so. We read wordy books and indulge in windy arguments, thinking we believe this universe needs no God to explain it. Were our contentions true, it would follow that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. So, this is one more example that we're going to be given. We are going to be given a number of examples of what it's like to have faith. It's an illustration, one more illustration of what faith is like. I thought about this morning. I remember when my son became a pilot, And he said to me while he was at the end of his training, "Mom, do you want me to explain to you what it's like, what helps the plane go up, the science behind the plane going up?" And I just looked at him and I said, "No, I really don't want to know how or why the plane goes up. I just want to get in the plane and I want the plane to go up, and I don't want to understand any more than that. I don't want to know." But in this particular case, we do need to know when it comes to faith in a higher power, because the bottom line is we can't do this ourselves. We don't have in ourselves, if you are a compulsive overeater, we don't have the power necessary to march our way or pull our way out of this quicksand that we're in when we're in the food. We need something outside of ourselves to give us the stick that's going to pull us out of the quicksand. And so they're telling us here, look, are you going to get out of your car and take a look at all the beams underneath a bridge, the steel girders that are holding up a bridge before you cross the bridge? No, you just drive over the bridge. Do you understand when you plug in your blow dryer or a light? Do you understand what goes on behind the wall? No, you don't really understand all that goes into it. Not just getting to the electrical box in your house, but even getting electric. It's all, most of us don't understand this. And that's what they're telling us here. Do you really understand the steel girders that hold up a bridge? No. It takes faith to cross the bridge. And that's what they're suggesting here. They're suggesting that it is a blind faith that gets us to a place where we are willing to simply say out loud, and this is what happened to me when I was 18. I stood at a curb at a busy intersection in White Plains, New York. Cars were streaming by, and I looked up and I said out loud, "God, if you're there, I really want to know, I need to know if you're there. Because if you're there, that's a good reason to live. Otherwise, I don't want to do this. I don't want to gather all these toys and make it through this world." And then within days, I started having miracles. And I was born again. That is the only word I can use. And that's what faith is like. It's just a willingness to reach out to the universe and say, "If you're there, please let me know. I need you. Thank you."
Thank you so much, Sally A., for getting us started today. We do value everyone's experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day. That way others can share their experience too. I'll gather names, your first name, the first initial of your last name, your state or country or location that you're calling from. So who would like to share today?
Betty Jean M. from Connecticut.
Sima M.
All right. Hold on just one second. Betty, Sima, Tamara,
Leah S.
Suzanne M. And I think there was a Lisa in there.
Yes, Lisa C.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. All right. Let's go ahead and stop there. I have Betty C, Sima M, Tamara C, I believe it is, Leah S, Suzanne M, and Lisa B. If you'll just tell us where you're calling from, that will help people find you on the member list today. Betty C, go right ahead.
Hi, this is Betty Jean from Connecticut, Betty Jean M from Connecticut. When I joined this group, I had a very rich spiritual life that I really enjoyed and that I felt supported by. My question was, how do I keep enlarging this? Should I join another church? Should I join another religion? How would I enhance what I already really, really enjoyed, which which was the best part of my life, even in my sickness, even in the disease. I knew there was a God. So what I found helped me was outreach calls. And that's how I expanded my spiritual life. When I made outreach calls, I was in honesty, I was in humility, I was talking to another person, and most of the time, they would talk about higher power. When they were struggling, when they were not struggling, they would tell me of their experience with their higher power. And that enhanced my spiritual experience. It was like a bank that I kept putting money in. And it's this new wealth that I have now that's wonderful, that continues to expand my life. And I really feel like the outreach calls are what led to my abstinence. I was in the program for years without being abstinent. And I really was able to turn the corner through those calls. So you are all the steel girders in my life. You are all what hold me up. And I'm very, very grateful for that because I'm scared of crossing bridges, especially big ones. Thank you all, and I look forward to our next conversation. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Betty Jean M. from Connecticut. Up next, we have Sima M., followed by Tamra C. Go right ahead, Sima.
Good morning. This is Sima M. from New Jersey. I always accepted there was God, but I never had a personal relationship with God. I wasn't taught that. I went to a parochial school, and my mother never mentioned God at home, even though I'm sure she believed. But this program caused me to investigate my religion and to come to believe that there's a God that I can communicate with, that I have a direct link to. That I don't just read prayers out of a book and say them, but that I really have a relationship with. And that I got from this program. And that is why I am living in recovery today for 13 years, even though I came into OA 50 years ago. I had a lot of grave emotional and mental disorders to get through before I could reach the recovery that I have today. And I'm very grateful to the authors of this society, this program. Thank you. I'll pass.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Sima M. We appreciate you for sharing. All right, Tamra C., you're up next. Can you tell me if I got your last initial right and where you're calling from today?
Yeah, thanks, Jen. This is Tamra C., grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater calling from the state of Missouri. And what I take from this paragraph is that some things are easier for me to believe. I can't see visual proof, but other evidence makes it seem reasonable, and I have no reason to doubt. One thing that came to my mind was that I'm a teacher, and so there's always new tech coming up that we use in education. Right now it's all this AI stuff, and I don't understand it all, but I don't feel this drive to have somebody prove to me that it works, or I'm able to, like, when our tech guy is telling me what to do to make things work for the students or for myself, I just take his word for it. He seems to know what he's talking about. I don't feel any need to resist the facts, but there are other things, for me, spiritual things, that are not easy to trust. Like I have a higher power who cares about me and wants good things for me, wants to guide me, and is able to and wants to give me everything I need for this day or for this problem in front of me or for this dilemma that I'm facing, and is able to transform me, that God is transforming me. And why is it that the belief in these spiritual ideas comes slowly for me? And I think perhaps it's just because I have a long and deep history of contrary ideas. It's not easy to cast aside the ideas that I learned while surviving my childhood, like I'm not worthy of God's care, or the universe sees me as detestable unless I prove otherwise. that I have to be constantly striving to figure out what am I supposed to be doing and to summon the self-discipline to do better. This old idea that I have to fix myself, control myself, change myself. If things aren't going my way, then I'm doing something wrong. God has abandoned me. So how can I, you know, get to that shore of faith in the God idea that works? I find that I don't have to force it. I just keep taking the spiritual actions, checking in with my sponsor, trying to carry the message, living in the steps. And I find that I'm right where I'm meant to be on my spiritual awakening. And God uses the steps to shine the light on my old ideas that don't work. And slowly but surely, the God idea that works is getting deeper into my heart and becoming more natural for me. Thank you, Pat.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. Up next, we have Leah S. Good morning to you, Leah.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm grateful to be here. I'm in upstate New York, and I live in Brooklyn, New York. And I'm so grateful to be recovered. We read a paragraph that has, and we're in the chapter of We Agnostics, and the paragraph that we read is all about machinery that works, and then they go right into saying my higher power is like, you know, I laboriously try to understand that it isn't so. So, you know, like a wash machine, it has a purpose. It doesn't make a difference which company you're going to go to. It's going to do it's going to get your clothes clean. The air conditioner is just going to cool you off in that room. And everything has a purpose, and it works with intricacies, you know, with all these machineries and stuff. And my body, so really, if my body was created with a machine, so all of us were created with a machine, and we all would have to function properly, and we would all be the way we wanted to be or projected to be. And the truth of the matter is that when I get a silly little thing, I used to say, a silly little thing, why do I need more of this? Why do I want to eat more? It's going to make me gain weight. And it's not, no, it's not going to make me. And all this debating in my mind. And you know what? In all my challenges in life, one little thing, I go to the bathroom every single day. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. How many people do not use the bathroom every day? It's got to be a higher power who is superior. And that higher power, for me, the only word is God. And we are, yes, we're all created equal, but we got to work towards enhancing ourselves. And at least I do. I needed it because the despair and the emotions that were so downgrading to me, they were just giving me into the pit again and again and again. And look at this, I I can get out of that pit every single day. I really can. If I have the proper trust and faith in my higher power and that I call God. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. That was perfect timing. That's Leah S. from New York. Up next, we have Suzanne M. Suzanne, where are you calling from this morning?
Good morning. This is Suzanne M. from Warminster, Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for the previous shares and for everyone that's in service to this life-saving meeting for me. So, you know, I was born and raised in a Roman Catholic home. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. I went to Mass every Sunday. And so I had a learned faith, right? I was taught that. I came to believe it, right? And then when addiction took hold, of course, those years in my life, I thought there was no God, okay? Because where was he when I needed him? And then when I came into recovery 18 years ago in another program, I found God. And I knew he had been there because I was still alive, right? And so I began to rebuild my relationship with him. And then came in the food addiction. And again, I had no relationship because as soon as I step away from, as soon as I'm in disease, I am not with him, right? So through the grace of this program and from sponsors and everyone on this meeting and so many people who have taught me to put my faith in God and to pray and meditate and become closer, I now have almost a spiritual experience every day with the God of my understanding. He is always there for me, and he directs me throughout the day in little subtle ways, sometimes bigger ways. You know, one of my meditations this morning says, through communing with me, you transfer your heavy burdens to my strong shoulders. By gazing at me, you get my perspective on your life. This time alone with me is essential for unscrambling your thoughts and smoothing out the day before you. You know, 5 minutes with God in the morning can do that. If I can do better, that's great. But I find all these things to be true. And so today, like I said, my faith is greater than it's ever been in my life. And, you know, I can walk with him and I can talk with him. And he guides me every minute. It's a miracle in my life that I am a 100-pounder. Like, my entire life, that was not possible. I do what I've been told, right? I have a food plan. I follow it. I weigh and measure my food. I do that. I find the time for God. I make meetings. I do all the things I've been told. And I was sharing in a meeting last night that it's funny, the things I don't want to do the most are the things I need to do the most. And the things I want to do the most, I don't need to do them. I need to sit. I said last night also, I am not a good bus driver. I need to get out of the way and let my higher power drive the bus for me. So with that, I'll pass. I love you all and have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much, Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. All right, and before I take you, Lisa, let me just let people know if they just joined us on the line today. We've resumed our study in the chapter of We Agnostics. We're in the big book at the bottom of page 48. We're on that fourth paragraph that begins with, the prosaic steel girder is a mass of electrons, and we're reading through means nothing and proceeds nowhere, and we're commenting on that one paragraph today. So I'll let Lisa B. go, and then we'll take another list of names. So good morning, Lisa, and where are you calling from today?
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. I hope I can be heard okay. I'm just driving from my place in Pennsylvania back to Jersey. So if you lose me, I'm so sorry. I really wanted to share on this paragraph because I love it. Because I love that it points out how hard I was willing to work to disprove the God thing. And it makes me really just be in touch with the unseen and the seen. There is the physical material realm we can see. I can see the outside of my body. I can't see my internal organs. I can't see my heart pumping. I mean, you know, hundreds of years of you know, scientists and experimenters exploring the human body have shown us every little detail of what's in our bodies. But you know what's so interesting is that, like, I think about that labor. I think about what I was willing to put my body through in the food and how much harder I was willing to say, hey, heart, I know that you're supposed to pump blood through a body of a certain size, but I think you can handle a challenge, you know? And I couldn't physically feel every single moment of how hard my body was working to sustain my disease of more, to sustain me through it. But, you know, but it was working hard. So why was I willing to work that hard? You know, why couldn't I say this energy could be better spent in another way? And, you know, I was an art major in college. Well, I majored in art history and creative writing, and I'm an artist, and I'm absorbed in the arts. And I had a few friends who were physics majors in freshman year. And can I tell you the fascinating conversations that we would have? And, you know, one of my friends who was a physics major, he once said to me, the more you study science, you realize that it's art. He said to me that it becomes the most perfectly rendered painting that has imperfections, but it's so precise. And that's a word that's used in this paragraph as well. I think that, to me, that's what happens when I am tuned in, is I can see the beauty in the science. The science makes sense, but it comes together in a way that the unseen realm and the seen realm become a wholeness, a completeness within me. You know, there are more single-celled organisms alive in a human body than human cells. Our bodies are entire universes, and we are tuned into that. And that is just science, right? But to me, that sounds like God. So there becomes a moment where my intelligence blurs that line. If I'm willing to receive that there is something, some order to what seems like chaos, that I have a purpose, that my heart is beating inside my body, even though I can't see it, that's the truth. I can feel it, I can hear it, but I have to, in order to be whole, recognize that it's really there, right? There's this other layer. And to be complete, I need to walk in this spiritual realm. I am like not the same person without it. None of us are, I don't think. And if you listen to anyone who's recovered on the line, you can hear that there's like a way that they're tuned in a way that they didn't used to be. And it has made all the difference. Because now my body is working, but it's not working harder than it's supposed to be, right? My mind works, but it's not. I don't allow it to work harder than it's supposed to be. I say, oh, you know what? That's the part that God has to take over. So I just want to say I'm so grateful. Thank you to everyone, you know, for your service on this meeting and for the wonderful shares and for the opportunity to share and have a wonderful, abstinent holiday weekend. I pass.
Thanks so much, Lisa C. In New Jersey, traveling in your car, we heard all of it. So thank you so much for being willing to speak up today. All right, so we've resumed our study in the chapter We Agnostics, page 48, last paragraph, the prosaic still girder. We're going to read that one paragraph and share on it. We do value everyone's experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you'd like to share, could you give me the first name, your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state? Go right ahead.
Yvette L.
Ross M.
All right. I think I heard Yvette L. and Russ M.
Heather K.
Nancy B.
Heather K. Nancy B.
Nancy P.
Oh, T, B. Who is it?
P. Hooray,
okay.
Jen A.
Hi, Nancy. All right, Nancy P. Anyone else?
Kelly M. H., North Carolina.
Kelly H. And then there was someone else in there that I missed.
It's Jim with a J and last initial F, like football.
Thanks, Jim F. Appreciate you. All right, let's stop there. We have Yvette L., Russ M., Heather K., Nancy P., Kelly H., and Jim F. And you'll all have 3-minute shares. And let's start off with Yvette. Yvette, go right ahead.
Good morning. My name's Yvette L., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. And I love this chapter and this paragraph in particular, the idea of a creative intelligence, which is how I conceive of this power that helps me on a daily basis. I spent many, many years, probably close to 15 years studying to major religions, and neither one of them got me connected to this power. It was only this beast of a disease that finally got me willing to let go of everything I thought I knew, you know, with all my intellect, and to be willing to be guided by this intelligence. I have to be careful not to, you know, personify this idea like, you know, God's just a really big human. That doesn't seem to work for me. But this power, this intelligence, you know, helps me on a daily basis. You know, I'm still driving the bus, but the difference is in my life today, I'm seeking guidance from this power, from this intelligence that knows better than I do how things are supposed to go. I don't. I have to really accept that I don't know how things are supposed to be. I can have all sorts of, you know, ideas and plans, but I really don't know what's best. You know, somehow, you know, this intelligence is able to, you know, see things differently than I do. You know, I kind of consider myself one little string on the back of a tapestry, and all I can see is the chaos, you know, of all those strings on the back. But on the other side, if you will, is a beautiful tapestry. And I contribute to it with my little part, my little piece of this tapestry. And, you know, so this idea of an intelligence, you know, some sort of source or energy works for me. And that's all I need to know is what works for me. To be willing to seek guidance from this intelligence, and then to follow through day by day on what I'm guided to do. Because my life is better. You know, that's my proof. My life is better when I'm seeking this guidance and following through on what this guidance guides me to do. So I'm just so grateful. July 4th, 1992 was my very first meeting, and I have kept coming back since then. And my life is so dramatically different. But it took me a long time. I had a lot of resistance. But that power, this intelligence, has always been there and always will be there. And I can gratefully accept the guidance today. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Yvette L. from Connecticut. Up next, we have Russ M. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, everybody. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. And when I hear this part of the big book, you know, it's like I'm trying to prove it. And, you know, I got to figure it out, man. I got to know what's going on because I'm such a control freak. I can't just let things happen and surrender. And, you know, sometimes I look back after many years here in program and it's like, yo, am I just having a good diet? Or, you know, did I just fall into something? Bro, you know, come on. If that was the case, all the money I blew, all the relationships I blew up, destroying my body, right? All that thinking got me to that point. And I'm going to make this brief. I'm done splitting hairs trying to figure this crap out. The only thing that changed is that I was screwed up. I needed help. Someone shared the program with me. I worked the steps. I'm free. I'm living a pretty good darn life right now. And I got to stick to it. And that's it. That's the thing that changed. And, you know, you could call it what you want. God delivered me of this. God delivered me of this. I don't care what you believe. I know in my heart that the thing that changed was I had to get deeper. I had to surrender more. And I had to just lay everything on the table and, you know, be a regular Jamoke, be a regular 9-to-5 ham and egg, and not be so damn special and realize, you know, you need God just like ever. You're not superior to anybody. And that's the gist of it. Like, I got to stop thinking about it. And even now, with 9.5 years, through the grace of God, he's the one who got me out of this jam. And I have to share it with another person. I'd be nowhere without this program. I'd be under a bridge, half dead, with no family or nothing at all. It's only through the grace of God I'm doing what I'm doing. And so thank you, everybody. You all have a good day, and God bless. Keep it rolling. Stay in the lane, you know? All right, have a great day.
All right, will do. Thanks, Russ M. from Philly. Up next, we have Heather K. Good morning, Heather. Where are you calling in from today, please?
Hi, this is Heather Kay. I'm from Pennsylvania, compulsive overeater. And I like this paragraph a lot. And I can remember being at a religious service in a church basement in Manhattan in the fall and thinking about the idea that there's, you know, that maybe people praying in church basements or, you know, the rooms praying are holding the world together and we don't see it. And that's what this paragraph reminds me of, that underneath what we see, underneath the steel girders, is this order that brings order to the chaos. And I don't in my life laboriously set out to convince ourselves that there isn't a God, but sometimes I laboriously set out to convince myself that I am God, or that I can do it better than God, or, you know, that I don't say it that way, but I live it that way. That's really what it is I live like that's the case. And I just love, we read wordy books and indulge in windy arguments because I am the queen of windy arguments. And I just need humility and to just show up, listen, and recognize that I'm not the one holding the world together. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Heather Kay from Pennsylvania. Up next, we have Nancy P. from Boston. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. recovered in Western Massachusetts, right next to Boston. So I wasn't going to share, because all the shares were fantastic. But I decided that I wanted to because I agree with everything and that everybody said and was completely touched by a lot of it. And then I thought, but I had a slightly different perspective, which is that as an agnostic, I don't really care about faith. I don't really care about God. I don't care to know. I mean, if what I have today, which is, in my opinion, a life that is entirely spiritual, every breath I take, and filled with joy and light, also every breath I take, then I don't really care to go further. I mean, I do look. I search constantly. I seek constantly to do better, to have more of the same, and to spread as much serenity as possible and not chaos. So for me, like, I don't, you know, I'm a delegator. I too, you know, I always talk about my car. Like, if something's wrong with my car, I don't bash it open and say, I think I'll have a look. That's a delegated job. I take it to the dealership or I tell my husband. And not to be sexist, but like, I just don't deal with that. And that life goes on. And I get a lot of calls and people say, you know, I'm all about surrender. People say, well, who do you surrender to? What do you surrender to? And for the only thing in my life that I don't know and don't care about is that. You know, everything else I want to know. I got to have a plan. I got to have sequence. You know, I want all that, except for who and what I surrender to, because I don't care. So far, you know, it's like the goose that laid the golden eggs. I'm not going to kill it to see where the eggs come from. I'm just going to take my egg every single day, put it in the bank, and live my life of sane and happy joyfulness. And, you know, maybe it shouldn't work for me. Maybe I should be like miserable in the corner crying, eating, but I'm not. And I haven't been for almost 9 years. And, you know, like my bees, they shouldn't be able to fly. They're round bodies covered with fur. Their wings are too short and they have too many legs, but they don't know that. So they fly anyways. And so I don't care what I'm supposed to do. All I care is that what I do works. And my five pillars are, you know, as I said, I'm happy, joyous, and free. I help other people. I don't hurt myself with food under any circumstances. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. And if anybody has something that I'm missing, if they know of something that I'm missing, call me up and tell me what it is. And, you know, I'll take it under serious consideration. But so far, so good. And as someone else said, the most effective thing that I do of anything that I do at all, including brushing my teeth and going to the dentist, is engaging with other compulsive overeaters on a daily basis. It's the most healing, most effective, most serenity-inducing thing that I've ever done in my life, and I highly recommend it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy P. She's from Boston. Excuse me. Up next, we have Kelly H. Kelly, where are you calling from this morning? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. This is Kelly H. from Western North Carolina. And I, this passage is, I was just going to gloss over it and just be a passive listener today while I was doing other things. and that doesn't really work for me anyways, trying to work this program one day at a time. Evidently requires some attention, some agency, and some action. And that, of course, happens when I am in step two, actively like listening, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore me to sanity. And there's an interesting sentence in the middle of this paragraph that we read today on page 49 that basically asks, how solid am I on my step two practice? When, however, the perfectly logical assumption is suggested that underneath the material world and life, as we see it, there's an all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence right there, our perverse streak, or I could say my perverse streak comes to the surface, and I laboriously set out to convince myself it isn't so. Boy, if that doesn't sum up my stumbles and my stepping away, I don't know what does. I am so grateful to have a relationship with an all-powerful, guiding, creatively intelligent God. I really am. And I see evidence of that plenty. If anyone struggles in their current system, I would love to have that conversation with them. However, that isn't the point of the call. The point is, how is my walk doing with this reading? And I have to kind of see my part in it, my perversion, my perverse streak. What is that? That's my addiction to food. I want so much. And it isn't even the addiction to food, it's the addiction to control. And food is just sort of that solution that I'm using. I'm not going to condemn myself, but I am going to recognize that this is a thing that is working in my spirit on the daily, and I have to keep coming back to God. I need a course correction, and it's okay. If I have crooked teeth, I get braces. If I have crooked legs, I get leg braces or surgeries or whatever, but in this program, I get to have the braces of a grace from God to say, walk steady. Here's your step two, girl. Keep going. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much. That was Kelly H. She's calling in from Western North Carolina. Jim F., you're up next.
Yeah, this is Jim F. from Illinois. That first sentence that says, you know, this steel girder is a mass of electrons whirling around each other at incredible speed. And, you know, if you ask the quantum physicists of today, they'd say that everything is just waves of energy. And just like it's so hard to even fathom that my elbow is sitting on this, my kitchen countertop, looking at my book and my coffee cup, that all of this is just waves of energy. But if you ask any physicist in the world, who studies, you know, small particle matter, that they agree with that. It's energy. Like, how does this happen that it seems solid, but it's just energy? I have no idea, you know, and I think if you go back a couple pages, and I missed the first couple chairs, so if someone already did this, I apologize, but, you know, there's that sentence, for, you know, do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself? Yeah, I think if I come to meetings, it's before long I'll see that some power has entered into the lives of the people who are telling me what life their life was like and what it's like now. So I it'd be hard, you know, it's pretty easy, at least for me at this point, to say, boy, there's something going on here. There's some power. And that's all I have to do. So if you're new and this whole God thing or this whole power thing is throwing you, you know, just all you don't have to figure it out. It, you know, you don't have to know exactly what it is. And for me, like if this solid countertop is just waves of energy, then I can say to myself, like, I don't know anything, you know, what do I know about God and the world really? And am I just willing to believe that there could be a power that could help me And that's enough to go when you're new with step two. Just be willing to believe that there could be something. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jim F. from Illinois. And looks like we have a few minutes on the clock. If you would like to share today, press star one and I'll get your name. We have a couple more minutes.
Sarah G.
Sarah G. All right. Go right ahead, Sarah.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Sarah G. I'm from New Jersey and I'm a compulsive overeater. And just listening to all the shares and knowing that there's a power greater than me makes me so grateful, because the power is not me and I don't have to fix this world. I don't even have to fix myself. I just have to do my part. And like when I, most of my issues are fear-based, and my sponsor always says, I can't wait to see how God's going to figure this out for us. And I've gotten to this point in my life. I'm 65 years old and I'm raising a lot of children, and there are times where I thought I had to control everything and everybody, and I could just let go and know that God's doing his part. I have to keep my side of the street clean, and I'm so grateful to be at this point where I am happy, joyous, and free, and having wonderful, wonderful life. And I'm just so grateful for all of you, because even hearing everyone's shares, it's so good for me, because I know that I'm not alone. I hear other people like this too, and this world is going to be okay. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Sarah G., for sharing with us today. And we do have some continued time on the clock. Would anyone else like to share? Press star one.
Jody B.,
Monica T.
Okay, Jody, let's go with you. And if we have time for one more, we'll see right after that. Go ahead, Jody.
Thank you. This is Jody B. in Minnesota, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Just a really short thought here. I, too, am really drawn to those words that are, it's just after the all-powerful guiding creative intelligence, right there. Right there, our perverse streak comes to the surface. And I'm finding in this program of A Vision for You, OA, that when I quiet myself and the cacophony in my mind settles in, there's a space between me and all the energy that's described in this paragraph that helps me be alive, the energy between all the protons or electrons. There's an energy that's alive in me, and it's the same energy that's alive in all living things. It's described by science, it says. And right there, before my perverse thinking starts to come into play, if I can stay in that energy and in that moment, I don't have to know what God is. I just know that there is a power, and that power is, and that place, that space, is where I find there's something larger than me that can do for me what I cannot do for myself. It's really kind of the description in that we read over and over again, and more about alcoholism, that he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And when I fail to enlarge it, I get snagged. And so I'm really loving that space between me and all the energy that's in me to be alive and something greater than me. There's that space that I don't have to define, but that I can live through to do something different than just live, and really do something different that taps me into my sixth sense. I can live all day long on my five senses and never even bother with my sixth sense if I wanted to, and come and go through this life. But if I really want to engage in my sixth sense, I need to sit in that space right there. Thanks for listening.
Well, thanks so much, Jody B. from Minnesota, for taking us out today. I appreciate everybody's share on the line and everyone's service. Thanks for showing up. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately that's going to be following the closing. Let me go ahead and get you guys the share ID for today. So if you have your pen and paper and you want to share this with folks, this is great, or listen to it again for yourself. The share ID for Wednesday, July 1st, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is 23,595. That's 23,595. All right. I'm now going to close with the, or I'm not, we are all going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And we have Tamara C. of service this morning. Could you please read a vision for you?
Thanks, Jen. This is Tamara C. in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.